This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala. We will now take the next hadith in this blessed connection. Shama'il al-Tirmidhi of Imam al-Tirmidhi radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa nafa'ana bi ulumihi fi al-darain. Ameen. So for those that are following on in the book that we have reached, number 8. وبه ليل قاد حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع قاد حدثنا جميع بن عميد بن عبد الرحمن العجلي إملاء علينا من كتابه قال حدثني رجل من بني تميم من ولد أبي ومن ولد أبي هالة زوج خديجة يكنى أبا عبد الله عن ابن لأبي هالة عن الحسن بن علي رضي الله عنه قال سألت خالي هند بن أبي هالة وكان وصافا عن حلية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا أشتهي أن يصف لي منها شيئا تعلق به فقال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فخما مفخما يتلألأ وجهه يتلألأ القمر ليلة البدر أطول من المربوع وأقصر من المشذب عظيم الهامة رجل الشعر إن افترقت عقيقته فرقها ولا فلا يجاوز شعره شهمة أذنيه إذ هما إذا هو وفره أزهر اللون واسي الجبين أزج الحواجب سوابغ في غير قرن بينهما عرق يدره الغضب أقنى العرنين له نور يعلوه يحسبه من لم يتأمله أشم كث اللحية سهل الخدين ضليء الفم مفلج الأسنان دقيق المسروبة كأن عنقه جيد دمية في صفاء الفضة معتدل الخلق بادن متماسك سواء البطن والصدر عريض الصدر بعيد ما بين المنكبين ضخم الكراديس أنور المتجرد موصول ما بين اللبة والسرة بشعر يجري كالخط عاري الثديين والبطن مما سوى ذلك أشعر الذراعين والمنكبين وعالي الصدر طويل الزندين رحب الراحة شثن الكفين والقدمين سائل الأطراف وقال السائل شائل الأطراف قمصان الأخمصين مسيح القدمين ينبو عنهم الماء إذا زال زال قلعا يخطو تكفيا ويمشي هونا ذريع المشية إذا مشى كأنما ينحط من صبب وإذا التفت جميعا خافض الطرف نظره إلى العرض أطول من نظر إلى السماء جل نظره الملاحظة يسوق أصحابه ويبدر من لقي بالسلام. So this is a longer narration. Sufyan ibn Waqi' narrated to us Jumay ibn Umay ibn Abd al-Rahman. Al-Ijli narrated to us via dictation from his book saying, a man from Banu Tamim, from one of the children of Abu Hala, the husband of Khadija, was addressed by the agdaman Abu Abdullah, narrated to me on the authority of one of Abu Hala's sons, who related on the authority of Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma, who reported, I asked my maternal uncle, Hind ibn Abi Hala, who was skilled in describing features about the beautiful description of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I desired for him to describe some of his features to me so I could cherish and hold on to them. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was magnificent in himself and was magnificent in the eyes of others. His blessed face shone like the light of the full moon on a moonlit night. He was taller than a man of average height, yet shorter than an extremely tall man. His blessed head was large in a proportionate way, of course, and his blessed hair was wavy. If the hair on the front of his blessed head parted easily, he would part it in the middle. If it did not, he would leave it as it was. When he would leave his blessed hair, it would fall past his earlobes. His complexion was fair and luminous. His blessed forehead was wide. His blessed eyebrows were arched, thin, long, and full, perfectly shaped without connecting. Between them was a vein that anger would cause to pulsate. His blessed nose was prominent, long with a thin tip and a slight curvature in the middle. It was aquiline. A light rose from it. One who did not look closely and would think it was raised high and straight with the tip of the nose slightly prominent. His blessed beard was full and dense. His cheeks were smooth. His mouth was wide, and between his blessed front teeth was a slight space. A thin line of hair ran from his blessed chest to his navel. His blessed neck was like that of an ivory statue, as resplendent as silver. His physique was evenly proportioned. He was well built and firm, and his blessed chest and stomach were even with each other. His blessed chest and shoulders were broad, and his blessed joints were proportionately large. His blessed limbs that were unclothed shone brightly. Besides the thin line of hair that ran from his blessed upper chest to his navel, neither his breast nor his stomach had hair. His blessed arms, shoulders, and upper chest, however, had hair. He had long forearms and wide palms and full-fleshed sturdy hands and feet. His blessed fingers and toes were long and well-proportioned, or he said, his blessed fingers and toes were not crooked or bulging, and he had a slight arch in the soles of his blessed feet. His blessed feet were smooth, such that water could run off them if poured. When he walked, he would lift his blessed feet with vigor, and he would lean forward slightly and would tread lightly. He had a naturally long stride, and when walking, it was as if he was descending a height. When he would turn to look at someone or something, he would turn with his whole body. He would lower his gaze. He would look at the ground more than he would look into the sky. Most of his looking was from the corner of his blessed eye. He would have his companions walk in front of him and would initiate greetings of peace, salam, with whomever he met. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this would take quite a bit of time to go into a lot of detail here, but we will do what we can. You know, there's so many blessed notes in this book that we're going to read them, inshallah ta'ala. And then if we don't finish today, that we will finish, inshallah ta'ala. We don't want to rush this. So that a man from Banu Tamim, from one of the children of Abu Hala, the husband of Khadija. Okay, so there's a note here that says that Abu Hala and Sayyida Khadija bint Khuwaylid were married in the pre-Islamic period. Sayyida Khadija was married to Abu Hala before her marriage with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so a man from Banu Tamim, from one of the children of Abu Hala, the husband of Khadija, narrated to me on the authority of one of Abu Hala's sons, who related on the authority of Hassan ibn Ali, radiallahu anhuma, who reported. Okay. So Hassan bin Ali is the one who is that narrating this hadith. And he says, I asked my maternal uncle, Hind ibn Ali Hala. Okay, so he was the half-brother of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, who was skilled in describing features about the beautiful description, the hilya, of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the narration of Sayyidina Ali that we took, I actually went to the hilya. Salik had mentioned about the hilya, and I went to actually look at the blessed hilya that we have here in the Musalla. And it was the one that was mentioned in the narration of that Sayyidina Ali. Bila, we have one of the beautiful hilyas here. And this is a very beautiful thing if you wanted to have this at your home. You love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you want to display that, his blessed character traits. This is a beautiful example of a cultural manifestation that points to their love and the exaltation and that for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was described as wasaf, yani he was very skilled. And there's a note here that says a wasaf is someone gifted in describing the features of others. So not everyone has that ability, but that here that the that his maternal uncle, Hind ibn Abi Hala, that was. It can also be interpreted as someone who frequently describes the features of a person. Imam al-Bajuri maintains that the latter meaning is more appropriate in this context, since Hind has spent a great deal of time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was a young boy and later as an adult. And they said that most of the people who described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the younger people, because the older people that held the Prophet in so much awe that they wouldn't look closely at him for extended periods of time. And of course, because he is he would have been the son and the son-in-law of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his stepson, that he would have been with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for extended periods of time. He thus had intimate knowledge of the Prophet's physical features, such as the shape of his blessed face and limbs, the length of his blessed hair, and how he would comb it, his manners of movement, etc.
So he was wasaf. And what did Sayyidina Hassan say? What is the impetus for him asking about this? I desired for him to describe some of his features so I could cherish and hold on to them. In Arabic, wa ana ashtahi in yasif, I desire for him to describe minha shay'an at-ta'allaqu bih, that I can attach to. Translate here as cherish and hold on to them. So meaning, he didn't just think that they were important. This is something he wanted to hear and he wanted to cling to and hold on to. And what you could also probably extract from that is at-ta'allaqu bih, that I could reflect upon regularly, and that I could imprint on my heart, is that this is how the Prophet ﷺ was described. So this is a very important word. And of course, as the narrator of the hadith, that this description, it's a long description, but when we think about our Prophet ﷺ and reflect upon him, these are all traits and attributes and descriptions that we can bring to mind. So he said, yani who said this? Yani Hind ibn Abi Hala, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was fakhman mufakhman, which means that he was magnificent in himself and was magnificent in the eyes of others. What a beautiful way to start. The Prophet was magnificent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in and of himself, and magnificent in the eyes of others. And the note here says, Allah says about his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily you're upon an exalted standard of character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And notice here Allah said, خُلُق عَظِيم, which translates here as exalted standard of character. Allah could have said كريم, but he said عَظِيم. So that includes his beautiful attributes, just as it includes his majestic attributes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His face shone like the light of the full moon on a moonlit night. His face shone like the light of the full moon on a moonlit night, meaning that his face would shine with light. The note here that says, the moonlit night refers to Laylatul Badr, the 14th night of the Islamic month, when the moon is in its full splendor and beauty. Hind gave the example of this moon because in the midst of a dark night, its light is stronger, more intense, and more powerful than in other conditions. In a number of narrations, the Prophet ﷺ was compared to the full moon and the sun. That, however, is not a full comparison, for he was more illuminated and greater than the moon and the sun. But the companions gave an example of the greatest of that which was available. And he was more beautiful than the full moon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that his light was so great, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it covered up the light of the sun, such that there were some that when they would see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wouldn't see him as having a shadow. They say, how could that be possible? Is that that would only be possible if your light is so powerful that your light would cover up the light of the sun. And so he thus wouldn't have a shadow in the elect, that this is what they would witness. He was taller than a man of average height, so we've taken that before, and his blessed hair was wavy. We've also taken that before. If the hair on the front of his blessed hair parted easily, he would part it in the middle. And if it did not, he would leave it as it was. There was no takallaf. He didn't force anything, even in relation to his hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if it did not, he would leave it as it was. When he would leave his blessed hair, it would fall past his earlobes. So we previously spoke about the different lengths of the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a note that says, this phrase and the one preceding it may also be read together as, if the hair on the front of his blessed head parted easily, he would part it in the middle. And if it did not, he would leave it as it was. If he left his blessed hair as it was, it would not fall past his earlobes. From these two variant readings, this passage can mean that the Prophet's blessed hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would go past his earlobes when he would leave it and not part it, or if he parted, So the Prophet's blessed hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would go past his earlobes when he would leave it and not part it. Or if he parted it, it would reach his blessed shoulders. Alternatively, this could be when the hair in the front of the breast prophet's blessed head did not part, it would not go past his earlobes. Rather, it would be at the length of his blessed ears, and when it would part, it would go past his earlobes and reach his blessed shoulders. In other words, that much detail of even how the Prophet ﷺ parted his hair and that where it went in relation to his earlobes and his shoulders, meaning they were looking on very, very carefully. His complexion was fair and luminous, described here as Azhar alone. This may also be translated as his complexion was one blossoming in radiance. The word Azhar has been interpreted as fair and luminous because of it being imbued with redness. Others interpret Azhar as a description of the luminosity of the Prophet's blessed skin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in reality that his skin was that luminous and otherworldly because of how much light was in his blessed skin. And he is the one who, in the end of his that famous dua that he would make before Salat al-Fajr, asked in the end, Allahumma jalli nurun fi qalbi wa nurun fi qalbi wa nurun fi qalbi wa nurun fi sam'i wa nurun fi basi, all the way until the end. He would always ask for light in relation to every aspect of his existence. His blessed forehead, Jabin, was wide. And he mentions, I know your Sayyidah Aisha proclaimed in a couplet, had Zulaykha's companions seen the Prophet's brow, his Jabin, they would have cut their hearts instead of their hands. Had Zulaykha's companions seen the Prophet's brow, his Jabin, they would have cut their hearts instead of their hands. And that they say that the only reason that Yusuf alayhi salam was given half of beauty, our Prophet was given all of beauty. And the only reason the same thing didn't happen when the women saw Sayyidina Yusuf, i.e. is that they cut their hands as a result of his beauty and didn't pay attention to what they were doing, is that because the Prophet was clothed in majesty. So he was the most beautiful person ever. He was clothed in majesty. The protection there from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, we're going to have to stop there. So we left off on his blessed forehead was wide. There's a lot to cover and I don't want to rush it. So we'll come back and pick up there. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May this reading be a source of great benefit for us and a source of connection and attachment of our hearts to the best of creation. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may it means for great openings and great good for us and our family members, our loved ones, and for the ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah revive in our hearts the mention of him and the attachments and connection to him, and revive the study of the Shama'il in these lands in which we live, and in the ummah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Revive means, or may means of it, his sunnah and his way. And it be a means for this light to spread. Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. And may we make great means in that dissemination. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.